This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining the To Hull and Back podcast, sponsored by Six Yards Out and Old Zoological Bar. I am your host, Nathaniel Witto, and I'm joined by Will and Ant. And Ant, you're smiling. Explain yourself.
You went on mute for the video, so I could hear you breathing.
Well, I was thinking that maybe people did hear me breathe, so I'm sorry about that.
But it was a loud sigh midway through.
It was just clearing my throat because I'm preparing, because I'm very professional. So, the first thing I've got written down here is Gavin Ward. So shall we start with a 10-minute rant from Will?
No, because we needed to keep clean and I can't swear. Stop doing that.
Well, I mean, what? How else are we going to fill the time? Because that's the only thing I've got written down. I was just relying on you.
I feel bad because I don't want to have a go at referees, but he's just not very good, is he?
He's not very good. He's really not very good, is he? I'm not sure whether this one was quite as aggravating as the home game, which I went to, because that was really terrible.
It wasn't.
There were a few penalty shouts, maybe for handball, that we could have got. I think people were talking about that after the game, but it wasn't quite as bad. It's just really unpleasant that another whole game with Gavin Ward as the referee, how on earth they decided it would be a good idea to have the referee with maybe the worst performance of the season in that first game and then given the return fixture. Perry Sports.
It seems a bit dodgy.
Yeah. Perry's gone a bit early and saying, I can't see it personally, but we'll be incredibly close. I don't know whether he's talking about the intro or the Rotherham game that we're looking ahead to. And Kirst says, hey, guys, which is very nice. So I guess there were some positives from the game. Slater scored, that sort of thing. So, Ant, give us your general thoughts on an away draw against Reading, but perhaps one we would have liked to have won.
It was a frustrating one. More so because the performance against Burnley was so promising that if we'd even played to 60-70% of what we did against them, we would have beaten Reading 2-3-0. It's just another case of the fact that we always tend to play better against the sides we expect to lose to, and then the games where we should be trying to be on the front foot and winning, we just can't seem to take the impetus and control the game. And I just think that it was one of those really it was a dull game, I thought, first half. I thought we were probably the better side and deserved to be 1-0 up. And then the second half, we just allowed ourselves to get into, a bit of a physical battle. And then, a bit of a mishap at the back, and the ball drops to Carroll, of all people, to smash into the back of the net. It was frustrating more than anything, because I don't think they actually had any chances other than the one that they scored. But I also don't think we had that many chances. It's just, it was a very... end of season game. You could tell there was nothing on the line.
It felt like two teams that were on the beach. Obviously, at the time of the game, Reading may have been on the beach, but they're probably not anymore now. They're going to get a 6-point deduction.
That feels like Reading have had a 6-point deduction every year for the last decade, though. But they probably deserve it. The ownership there is pretty terrible. And
they deserve it just for having Tom Ince.
Well, yeah, and they deserve it for just having Paul Ince as well. And I think they deserve it because they've taken, 4 points off us when we've outplayed them pretty much, or had so much possession against them in the two games, and we've not been able to beat them, which is frustrating. So hopefully if they go down, then we're not going to have to play them again. But yeah, I'd written in the notes, are we on the beach? You've both said we are. That's a little bit worrying considering that there were 9 games left, at the start of the Reading game. So, what are our expectations for the rest of the season? Do you think we can sort of get off the beach and finish the season strongly? Because I think that's quite important for Rossini and a few players that maybe haven't been in the team but still have a chance to get into that and have a positive summer, perhaps. What do you think, Ant?
The thing is like, yes, there's 9 games left to play, but realistically, are we going to lose? I would assume you'd have to lose 8 or 9 of those at least to be dragged into it for the final couple of games. I don't think we're going to do that. We've only lost 5 times. Is it 5 times since Rossini's taken over? And that was in November. Yes, we don't tend to be, scoring lots of goals or winning games at the minute. But we've turned what would normally be losses under Schotter into draws under Rossi. That lack of ruthlessness in the final third, that bit of, composure, creativity in the final third. We've just been missing it all season. And, you can probably put it down to the fact that we've had such a horrid time with injuries. There's been no consistency. Players get momentum and then they get injured again and they're back out of the squad. We're missing people like Connolly and Tete that offered us so much promise in that attacking sense. And you can imagine how frustrated Rossini is, how frustrated, the players are themselves in the changing rooms.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that, barring an absolute Grant McCann-esque capitulation, we're not going to get dragged into that bottom three fight. And we're not going to go into the top six fight. We're fine. The fact that the league's so close this season and we're sat in 15th, like 15th is pretty much the mid-table this season. I just think the sides below us, they aren't got enough in them to catch us. I think most of them actually play each other quite a few times as well. So there's no real chance for them to make up enough ground. And like I say, I can't see us losing the amount of games needed to be dragged into that.
Yeah, it's just, I think because of the money, and I think we might talk a little bit about the money we've spent later on as well. It's a bit of a shame if we do finish perhaps bottom half with maybe even a top six budget. But I think the main thing this season was to consolidate. And Gabe Sutton asked me about it yesterday. What's City's target for this season? Really, if we finish with more points or significantly more points than we did last year, that's an improvement, even if we don't finish top half or in the playoffs. We had 51 last year, so we're on 47 now. I think we'll definitely get past 51.
I'd be surprised if we don't break that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think perhaps we'll get up to 50, although maybe I've jinxed it on Saturday, and then it's another 7 games after that. So I think main thing is just to consolidate. And which players in the City squad at the moment do we think really need to have a good last 8 games of the season so that they're sort of in the thinking for the summer? Of course, one is probably, even though I don't want to say it, it's probably Ryan Longman, because his performances statistically, even though I disagree with the statistics, haven't been ideal. I guess he's one player, but there's probably a few others. Maybe Ryan Woods. He's been injured, but has he been, is he going to play over Seri? Maybe Aliar. I know he's been, a lot of these players I'm mentioning will have been injured, but who else would you put in that category?
See, this is the thing, because as you say, a lot of them have been injured, so they've not had a lot of game time to sort of show themselves. And I think it's weird. It's been a weird season. I think you can almost write off the first half in a way, because it was just a disaster, really. I think it's a boring answer, but I think all of them have got a, because every player should not think their place is assured in the team, apart from maybe Seri. So
why Seri though? What if he has eight awful games?
I don't care. He's Jean-Michel Seri. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing. But I think there are a few other players that perhaps
there's plenty of players who can justify being regular starters and not having to worry about where they are next season. But I think that's just being you're taking your eye off the ball if you do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get where it's coming from. No, I agree with Will, because realistically, you know, you've got a squad of players, barring three or four that Rosie brought in January, that weren't his squad, that obviously aren't up to the fitness levels that he wants, may not be as good on the ball in possession as he wants, may not be as, you know, willing to press high as, you know, that he wants. This is now players' chances to... They've now got to prove whether or not they can be a part of this system next season. Every single one of those players needs to be playing for a place in the squad next year, because you don't know what's going to happen in summer. None of us know what's going to happen in summer. We don't know if it's going to... Three or four of them could leave, and then three or four be brought in. Loan signings might might be brought in permanently. So you've got a lot of players that are playing for the futures at the club. And you've got a lot of players that, you know, might find themselves on the fringes next season that won't want to be on the fringes, and they want to, you know, think they'll be starters elsewhere and maybe looking to move on in summer and, you know, trying to find out where their future lies. So you're looking at players like Aliar that's come with such promise, and we know how good he can be, and he's had a torrid time with injuries since coming to us. So you'd like to see him have a nice consistent run now from the end of the season to really show us what he can do, like he did it towards the end of last year. You know, you've got Regan Slater that I would like to see play a bit more in the middle now towards the end of the season, where he tends to pick up his goals. Tufan, you know, got a point to prove. Can he, you know, work hard for 90 minutes every game? You've got Louis Coyle, who's got, you know, Cyrus Christie to come back. Can he, you know, force the issue and say, well, I deserve to be starting as well? Callum Elder. You've got, you know, it's a huge summer coming up. So these last few games, they can't really afford to be on the beach, because I don't think Rossini is the kind of guy who will hold on to them just because he likes them. They've got to fit his plan and his system. And, you know, Adjin, like you say, has invested a lot in the team this season. We'll probably invest again in summer. And the realistic aim next year will, I would imagine, be top half at least as a bare minimum. So you've got to have players here that are ready to improve and adapt in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's probably the lone players. So, and of course, they need to play, because if they don't play well, there's no way we're going to be signing them in the summer. I think Ebi Way, we've started to see the best of him. Played really well against Burnley, and then Reading was also pretty solid. And then, of course, Connolly, we all like the look of him. It's just been unfortunate that he's injured. I think
Connolly will be with us next season.
Yeah, I hope so, because, I mean, he's only played like really four games. I was at four or five games until he got injured, and hopefully he isn't another one of those players that is always on the fitness table, injury table, is it? Operation table, maybe. So hopefully he can, you know, start playing. I think he's back for the Sunderland game after Rotherham. And then Darlow's been doing pretty solidly. I know Ingram's back in contention, but pretty sure Darlow will start again. And then maybe Elder and Coyle, because I know they're two of the longest serving players. Elder's definitely a longest serving player. I know with Greaves, who's been pretty good at left back as well recently. I guess if Elden can stick in the team, because didn't he play against Reading? He's been in and out of the team.
The thing for Elder as well is he's contracted up at the end of the year, at the end of the season, I believe. Or it's so he's looking to get a new contract if he's going to stay as well.
Yeah. Well, because we've used the extension on his contract, right? So it would have to be a whole new one.
Yeah.
Because I assume this is his fourth year, so that must have been the fourth year extension. But I think he's done relatively well. Gabe, again, was asking me about Jacob Greaves and his evaluation. And I was sort of saying that perhaps it's not going to be as high as a Bowen or a Potter, because... Elder's been playing well at left back, and he's not been the first player on the team sheet like those other two players were. So I guess I'd ask you two, how do you value Greaves with how he's been playing this season at left back, and whether Elder's worth sticking around because of how well they've competed?
He's easily our most valuable player, I think. Obviously, that's just taking into account his age, nationality. You know, you always get English tax on him. Local lad up through the youth academy. He's going to be the next one. Obviously, with our new model of bringing players through and then selling them on for bigger fees, he will. I fully expect him to go in summer. I just think it makes sense. I think he has been a victim of the fact that obviously we lost the three at the back. System. If we had, you know, the three at the back again, he'd obviously be on the left hand side with Maka, just like it was last season. But the form of McLaughlin and Jones since, you know, he was brought back into the team, Maka, it's just he's kept him out. You know, it was unfortunate timing for his injury as well, which allowed Elder back into the side. So, you know, it, just because he's out the squad doesn't mean he's a bad player. It just means that the form of the players in the squad are keeping him out. But in summary, he's going to obviously if he gets some proper interest and, you know, a decent bid in summer, probably, I would say, around the 10 million mark, just below, just over kind of thing. He would go, and I think it makes sense for him to go. Like we say, we've got an able-bodied replacement in Maka, and that money would, being reinvested in the team for probably, I would imagine, the attacking side of things that we probably need to improve on, as well as finding a left-back and then another understudy centre-back to go behind Maka and Jones, because I can't see Figg staying either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you agree with that, Will?
Pretty much, yeah. I will say, though, that I think Greaves, he can't accept anything less than about 150 million.
I think that's a bit of hyperbole, perhaps. Because, I do
think he's going to go in the summer as well, as much as I love him. And I won't be surprised if the team that came in for him in the last summer, Middlesbrough, hopefully when they get to the Premier League ahead of Sheffield United. I won't be surprised if they wanted to come back in and try and get him, because they'll probably be able to get him for cheaper than what they offered him before, to be honest.
Yeah, because it's not been the best season for him, and he's been playing out of position. But I mean, I guess he's done pretty well, but he's a year older. And I think, you know, if we do get, what, maybe 10, 15 million around there, maybe ever so slightly less than Lewis Potter, because he's not an attacking player. If we can use that on, you know, reinvest that in the team. And we've already got a solid centre-half replacement in McLaughlin. I guess it would be more that left-back that we could go and get. And, you know, and perhaps an improvement on Elder. That wouldn't be that bad. I mean, I've said it so many times, because I think this year that losing Greaves wouldn't be anywhere near as bad as Bowen or Lewis Potter. So I think, again, you know, we're going to get onto the financial side of it, but perhaps selling him wouldn't be that bad. So I guess the last thing that I was thinking about after the Reading game was 147 points. I said I'm happy just to get like five more to get more than last season. There's eight games left. I think we have the toughest run in of any team in the league.
We do.
The highest positions we have to play against. So Will, for you, 147 points, what's a good target to get to which you'd be happy with? Or is it more just the quality of the performances?
I mean, but I'd agree with you. It was like getting more than we got last season, 51. So the aim for maybe, I think Liam will obviously want him to get like 60. At least, but 55, I think I'd maybe aim for. But I don't think it'll matter position wise. I think we'll be about the same place we are now, regardless of how many points we get. But yeah, I'd aim for 55. It's usually 50 points is, well, usually 45, 50 is the absolute guarantee of staying up in this league, usually. So finish with points to spare on that, I'd be very happy.
Yeah, I think so. I think 55 is probably reasonable, but it's going to be tough because of the teams we're playing. So,
that's the thing.
Yeah, you want to weigh them at like at least a point a game, don't you, for the remainder of the season?
Yeah.
As an average, so like, what's that, nine games left, something like that. So, you know, 55, 56 points. Just to show obvious improvement on last season, and I know we've obviously got a better quality squad and we've spent quite a bit more, obviously, than the team we had last season. But like we say, that first half of the season up to November, we're playing catch-up for the rest of the year. So yeah, to actually finish on more points than last season would be an achievement in itself, considering we look destined for League One under Shotter. You know, we've Rosini's biggest test to come in was to make us defensively solid, and he's done that. You know, the final piece of the jigsaw is just sorting out the scoring goals, we just can't seem to crack out how to score more than one goal lately. So, but that'll come obviously with a good full pre-season and hopefully a lot less injuries next year. We should see a lot better. So yeah, I would, you know, improvement on last season. You're looking at 55 points onwards. Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, I think that's probably quite a reasonable suggestion. We're not going to touch on it too much, but a few weeks ago we were talking about Agen perhaps buying Dundalk FC in Ireland to send a few players over to develop. It seems that maybe Dundalk, you know, is too expensive, so perhaps Agen is going to go sign or buy Shelbourne FC instead. They're a much smaller club, I know, because I checked, they're usually in the second division of Ireland, but have just been promoted to the first division and stayed up last season in a seventh out of 10 spots. So it's not a very busy league, really. There's only 10 teams, but I mean, I don't think there's much to talk about that because it's not been confirmed. I think just reiterating that it would be kind of cool, I guess, and helpful. But
it's just a loophole around Brexit transfer regulations, and that it's just a way to bring in players from abroad into the actual UK, because Ireland is obviously here but not part of the United Kingdom. So
it's not the United Kingdom, but it's got easier restrictions than the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
So. Of course, that's been in the news for ages since what do they call it in Brexit? The back thing? I can't remember.
I don't want to talk about Brexit.
It's not then. But perhaps Uriel Chelli there, the Peruvian wonder kid that we signed, will perhaps go and tear up the Irish League in a year or two, and then he can come and play for us. That'd be nice. We've mentioned it a few times, but the report of the financial side of things came out for last season. Apparently we made 14 million profit. Ant, you were talking about some weird loan thing. Do you want to quickly explain what you know about that?
There's not much to explain, because I'm not going to pretend to understand the financial side of football at all. I would recommend going to Kieran Maguire's Twitter feed if you want to see a more accurate representation of it. But apparently, obviously, we made 14 million for the 21-22 season, and that includes obviously Agen writing off the 20 million pound loan to the Alams and player sales. So I would assume, because the thing is that I don't actually know if the loan's a part of FFP, so I don't know. I mean, that's not mentioned in it, but it would be interesting to see, obviously, because it's only just come out before we started this, so I've not been able to read any further comments that he puts underneath. So, yeah, have a look at that, because this season's, I think, will be really interesting when they come out to see what's spent on with free travel and increased wage budget. And then you obviously got the flip side where we sold Keane Lewis Potter, but we've got increased match tickets. And, you know, it's always a side of football that is quite complicated, but thankfully you've got people like Kieran Maguire that can, you know, explain it in a bit of layman's terms for us.
Yeah, that's the thing with the last season's accounts, is obviously because of the takeover, it's very weird to read. It'll be nice to see this season's when we've had a full whole season under Agen, but we won't do that for another year, pretty much. That's the problem.
Yeah. Who knows where we'll be by then? Could be literally anywhere in the table, and, you know, still in either the Premier League or League One. We don't know, although I think that's extremely unlikely. So looking ahead to the Rotherham game, a few injury things to talk about firsthand. Unfortunately, Aaron Connolly won't be back fit for the Rotherham game. Initially, it was, you know, touted that apparently he was going to be able to play a few weeks ago. But yeah, he's been, we talked about him. He brings such energy and that aggression. He's helped to get the best out of Oscar in those few games. So hopefully back for the last seven games of the season. Ryan Woods and Matt Ingram are back, although I'm not sure either of them.
I don't think either of them will be involved.
No. Pelkas, poor guy, he's had food poisoning and has been in hospital. So best wishes to Dimitros Pelkas. He's had a very unfortunate season. Because when he's played, he's been okay, but he's never really had enough of a run of games before getting injured or being struck down with food poisoning again. So, I'm not sure, even if he has, well, I guess if he has a great last few games, maybe we would want to sign him on a permanent. But I think Rossini has talked about wanting players that are always fit, and I don't think he's ever going to be able to do that.
I don't think we're going to see him after this season. I think he's going to stay.
probably similar to Cynic and Tufan, who's actually played relatively well recently, but more of a Fenerbahce sort of fan sort of marketing ploy rather than a sign that you know, we're really hoping was going to work. But, you know, hopefully if we look this time next year and we see that, we Ajun's made lots of money off Pelkas Helsinki shirts in Turkey, then I guess it'll have worked out. And we wouldn't have even needed to sign him on a permanent deal.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
So the major thing to talk about with the Rotherham game is a sellout crowd. Although, Will, you want to be a pedant for a moment?
It's not a sellout yet.
No, but it almost is. Mind you, it has been a sellout at times, hasn't it? Because they have to keep opening new tickets.
Well, no, because the West Up has been open the entire time and it's never sold out yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's true. But I'm going to be in the West Upper Stand. I'm very looking forward to it. So how do we see the game going on Saturday against a team in 20th and a 21st in the away league table?
So it's one of those games, isn't it? The thing is, it's another one on paper where we should, you know, especially at home now with the flipped form that we've had lately. What is it? 4 clean sheets in the last 5, and the 5th was obviously the Burnley game, which, you know, if you could keep a clean sheet against Burnley, you've done phenomenally well. So, you know, we've been strong defensively. The Rotherham have that many attacking talents that would threaten us at the minute. I would look at them and say no. We've got ample attacking talent, so obviously it'll be 2-0 Rotherham. The problem is, isn't it? It's a team that's down, you know, fighting to stay in the division, and it's typical City.
They haven't got any attacking talent. They've got one, the absolute legend, the jungle cat that is Tom Eaves.
He don't start.
Let's talk about
the Rotherham fans hate him.
The man is only 20 goals off his 20-goal record target for this season.
For audio listeners, we've now got Tom Eaves photoshopped on a traditional image of Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I assume both fans, or maybe just whole fans actually, are going to be shouting Eaves every time he gets near the ball, even if he gets on.
Only if we're 5-0 up and he comes on.
Yeah, but I think I'd do it even if it was 0-0 because, you know, he's a cult hero.
You know full well Rotherham will win 1-0 and it'll be Tom Eaves' header in the 88th minute.
Yeah, probably. Although he never seems to score, goals or headers. So, really, I'm not sure that that's going to be that much of an issue. And I think the other striker they've got, Connor Washington, is the lowest rated striker.
They've got Dougal at me.
Yeah, he's got a few. He scored a few the other week against QPR.
So that ruins your argument there.
I mean, yeah,
but he scored 2 all season.
That's
really not that good. That is 2 more than he's 18 closer to the target Tommy have set himself. But we can't be too mean for him to be optimistic, right?
Yeah, I agree with Ant, to be fair. I think it's one of those games where we should smash him and it'll be a tricky game because they'll probably likely sit back like most teams do when they've come here in recent times and we'll struggle to break them down.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously, the reason the Burnley game was so good is because they were open and they play a similar way to how we want to play and it allowed us to be open as well.
Hmm. Yeah, Alex has said he scored a hat-trick against Rotherham.
He scored for us.
I think he's got like four or five goals at Rotherham Stadium, but none of them have been for Rotherham, which is really depressing for him. Yeah, so that's not really
worked out. It's the kind of game that you hate, well, that managers would hate, you know, towards the end of the season when you've got sides that are fighting for the lives at the bottom or fighting
for goals.
They're the teams you don't want to play, and Rotherham are unfortunately one of those that have got something to try and fight for.
I think
you look at the bottom, but the results are weird, aren't they? Like Wigan's improved, now they've got the point deduction, so they're near enough out of it. Then you've got Huddersfield that is Warnock, so you don't know, he might pull off a miracle in the last few games.
I hope it's QPR.
QPR are falling like a brick, like we did. They're all fighting for their lives, aren't they? And if we play similar to what we did at Reading, you open yourselves up to a defeat. Because you've got to take this game as you would, you know, earlier on in the season, as though we were trying to fight to get into the top six. You've got to go into this now with effort and endeavour. And if you don't, then Rotherham players will, you know, win that physical battle and make it difficult for us. Think about Barnsley. It's a very similar situation to Barnsley next season. Last season, sorry, where we did cheaper tickets. Loads of fans came in. You know, a team below us that were really, really struggling. And then they came over and turned us over 2-0. We played absolutely terrible. It's just one of those occasions that as a City fan, you're just naturally worried about. But if we play to, you know, how we should and know we can play, then we could bury them. So
hopefully it's like the away game was, hopefully, to an extent.
And Ryan Longman scores. I'd love that. Yeah, because we played really good football there. Well, I'm sure you'd like it if he did score, rather than he scored than no one, right?
I enjoyed that game very much because it finally broke my betting of Greaves scoring first, and I got many pounds for that.
Of course, and that's the third time, isn't it? Hasn't Greaves scored first four times this season? Yeah, so he's made
since.
Yeah, they've made lots of money. Yeah, but I guess
diminishing returns after that point.
Yeah, it turns to Maka now. Maka's the next one.
Maka or Jones, who's normally the lowest scorer one now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, do we think we'll win? Because I think it might be a bit of a tight game, similar to, who was I talking about it earlier? I guess Reading, that they're going to sit back. But it probably is going to be like a Blackpool or a Huddersfield or a Cardiff game where we perhaps just, you know, can't break them down. So I might go 1-0, Ryan Longman goal, obviously. But, Ant, what do you think?
We're not scoring many goals lately, but we should be right. I think the 2-week international break will have done them good. I think coming into this game, it was something that was probably needed because I think that the quick turnover of games didn't do us any favours in trying to, you know, get any momentum. So, you know, a lot more time on the training ground, a lot of players maybe work off some niggles they had and come into this game raring to go kind of thing. So I'm going to go 1-0 City.
Yeah, fair enough. I've gone 1-0. Will, are you going to go 3-0 like you have done the last few weeks?
Well, of course I am.
Wonderful.
You're wrong not to.
Longman hat trick.
Of course, I'm going to go for the... I think Oscar will get one. And I think it'll be... Malcolm will finally get one. Mm-hmm. And Cal Dalla.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I think it's more likely that maybe Pelkas will score a beautiful diving header, leaping like a salmonella. Because of the food poisoning.
Now,
if this was live, that'd be removed.
Oh.
I think now we've all predicted a win, guarantees a Rotherham win.
Yeah, probably. But something that we always guarantee at this sort of time of the episode is the combined lineup. So it's 10 Hull City players and Ogbene, who is a Rotherham winger, because I think wingers are always a problem position for us. I know we've had Slater, he's on the left wing. So it's basically just, I think, you know, a standard or maybe the lineup for Reading plus Ogbene at right wing. He's got 7 goals from the wing this season. That's pretty good. Only Oscar's scored more than 7 goals this season for City, so I think can't be any complaints about that. But, Will, are you going to have any complaints anyway?
I want to.
Go on, then. What's wrong?
I can't.
You can't.
This might be the first time where your 11 is actually correct.
I don't know. You can make a case for Ebuwe on the wing instead of Slater, maybe.
You can, but he scored a few goals that have been there, to be fair.
And Slater scored in the last match. So
from the central position.
Yeah, I don't
think that's the only issue I'd say is you're playing Slater at left wing and I don't like it.
No, I guess, but otherwise it would be a fan, maybe.
Because I think Ebuwe of the last three or four games, well, he's been our probably best player. He's looked very lively. He's desperate for a goal.
But I'm not going to admit, I'm never going to admit to just forgetting that Ebuwe existed, you know, when I was making that. I would never admit to that. So it's just going to, I'm just going to have to stick with the fact that I thought Regan Slater, you know, he deserves
take accountability.
And he's got a few goals and assists, so he's done all right. And Ebuwe, he's just played well in what, two games maybe. So, you know, I think Ogbeni probably deserves to be in there instead. I guess we can mention, as Ant's wearing his England shirt, we can mention that England had a pretty much perfect international break. Well, I guess 75% of the performances over, you know, of the halves. We had an awful second half against Italy, conceded them. Maguire made a few mistakes, which is a, you know, of course, he used to play for City, so it's never really pleasant for me to see. I want him to do well. But, I mean, not much to talk about. Just a solid win against Italy and Ukraine. Well, you had sort of mixed emotions about the win against Ukraine, didn't you?
Not really. I was happy with the one. I just wanted to wear a Ukraine shirt to wind people up.
Yeah, well, it certainly winds me up because I always want England to win.
That was the main point of it.
Yeah, I guess if England, you know, if Sweden had to beat England in the World Cup or something, so they got through, but England were already qualified, I guess I'd be happy with that because I like Sweden as well. But that's probably got less justification than Ukraine.
There was one thing I got quite annoyed after the Italy game because I was a bit upset with how negative England were. But they were, even though they were a bit more, they were good defensively. They were very good defensively. The only time Italy actually broke through them was the error that was made, which feels very Hull City at the moment.
Yes.
In that, the Burnley game, for example, all three of their goals came from us cocking up and they didn't really create much outside of that.
Yeah, I think it was two very solid performances, except perhaps some of the second half. We didn't really attack against Italy, but it's been...
Jack Grealish missed the worst sitter I've seen in a while, and it should have been 3-0 at half-time and out of sight.
Yeah, well, on the commentary, they tried to say that was a difficult chance. I haven't seen it back, but
it was pretty easy to make. It was an open goal for like 6 yards out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was on the volley, I guess, but, you know, he could have smashed that in easily. So,
how much did he cost?
£100 million.
So he can't side foot a ball into an open net?
No, clearly not. Clearly not. I'm getting absolutely slaughtered in the comments with the combined lineup that Rotherham's keeper's statistically been the best in the league.
He plays for Rotherham,
so I can't include him. Darlow's definitely better because he plays for us.
They're completely right. What are you doing? Stop doing it now.
Alex has pointed out that I like Sweden and Johansson's Swedish, the Rotherham goalkeeper, but didn't include him. But I like Darlow. Darlow's good. You know, Darlow in the middle of our goal. You know, it's a good chant and all
that's
that.
That's not even
a chant. What is it then?
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, cool.
I'll tag you in it.
Take me in it later then. But I don't think there's as much else to talk about. Hopefully we come back after a fantastic win against Rotherham, you know, a few goals, another clean sheet, and we can move on and have a bit more positive end to the season because somehow we've, is it one win in eight now? Be nice to have a few more in the next eight. So I don't think there's anything else to mention. Thanks again for listening and commenting. And that's goodbye from... Oh, and do you have something? Go on.
Yeah, so obviously we did the Hair Game 2 episode the other day, which was recorded. It wasn't live. We will post that on the, I would say, Sunday, Monday time-ish.
I'll try it up on Sunday dinner time-ish.
Yeah, so if there are any women watching or guys, obviously, that might want to listen to it, it's just basically going to be Kirst, who is one of the advocates for Hair Game 2 at City, former Spurs ambassador for him as well. But she's just going to basically do lots of different episodes, which are planned based on all different aspects of the campaign. And, you know, some will feature, you know, people from women that attend games, some might have footballers on, some we might try and get obviously a couple of the City reps on and just chat about various things. Keep your eyes on them once because they'll be good episodes. And we also have an update on the website now. So obviously we've got a big update in terms of it should actually go live next month. So keep your eyes out for obviously written content and things like that. And we are still looking for people if you want to get involved. So if you want to try your hand at writing some City content, football content, anything like that to do with, you know, blog style entries, match reports, anything like that, just get in touch with us and we'll see if we can sort you out.
Okay, well, very well said. You've saved me there, Ant. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back again next week. Bye-bye.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.